A previously recorded Matt Slick Show.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the show. It's Matt Slick Live. Listen to me, Matt Slick. And it's the 21st of January, 2021, for the podcasters. If you want, you can give me a call. We have four open lines, 877-207-2276. And if you're a newbie to the show, what we do is take calls of all kinds on all kinds of topics, but primarily I'm a Christian apologist. I defend the Christian faith, answer Bible questions, teach, things like that. Do debates, and I got an interview tomorrow I got to be on, and let's see, you got something else, another one next week. Was on for about 3 hours last night answering questions from atheists and Muslims in chat rooms. I do stuff like that, and audio chat rooms. So, just my work. And I released an article today, if you're interested in checking it out. It's What is the Social Gospel? And is it biblical? So you can check that out if you want. The social gospel, it's an invasion in the Christian church of a gospel message that's not that good. Anyway, you can check it out if you want. We can talk about it if you want. Give me a call. 877-207-2276. Let's get to Brad from Iowa. Hey, Brad, welcome. You are on the air.
Hey, Matt. How you doing, brother?
Doing all right, man. Hanging in there. What do you got, buddy?
Good, good. Hey, so I got a question in regards to Revelation 21, verse 8. For some reason, I don't know if it's just mental struggles or just for some reason that especially like the first portion of Revelation 21, 8, talking about the cowardly will not will enter the kingdom. I guess more or less just trying to figure out, how to go about who that pertains to, how to tell more or less, to determine whether or not, is it more or less somebody who would be leading a lifestyle that way, or is it just, I'm just kind of more or less just trying to figure out how to wrestle through that portion when it talks about the cowardly or the fearful.
Well, what I'm looking at is the Greek word delos or delos. And it occurs 1, 2, 3, 4 so times. And it's just talking about to fear, to be timid, to be fearful. So for the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, I would say in the context, it's talking about unbelievers, those who are just have no backbone. They don't stand up for anything good. They're cowards. And they don't stand up for unrighteousness is what I would understand it to be the context, because it says, and unbelieving, because they're unbelievers, and abominable and murderers. So it's looked at as a very negative thing in this context I would say, not standing up for righteousness. They're just cowards.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, I just didn't know if it, as far as, for being a believer and stuff too, just for some reason that's always stuck out with me and stuff. And I know just with my own weaknesses and everything like that, just more or less that's just kind of always stuck out to me, and just trying to wrestle through that and to not want to be that person, and as far as just trying to, I guess, just, see what exactly that's talking about and where to kind of more or less, I know it's obviously not, trying to judge works and, if I'm doing, good or a certain way and stuff, but it's just, for some reason, that's just always kind of, stuck, that verse, at least that portion's always kind of just jumped out at me, and just trying to more or less just wrestle through that and everything, so.
Well, let me ask you a question. Do you teach, or do you believe you can lose your salvation?
No.
Okay. So then, you're just curious about how that would fit and what that is. Yeah, that's how I would see it. That's
absolutely.
It would make sense if I understand. But the cowardly and the fearful, they don't. In fact, that reminds me. Let's see if I can find this verse. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. 1 Corinthians 13, 14. Let's see. Nope. It actually says, act like men. It's 16, 13. Be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. You know, when I saw that verse, I was really confused. No, I'm not confused, but I was surprised that we would be told to act like men. Well, it doesn't say how to act like men. But I think the way to discover what men act like in a good way is to go through and imitate Jesus Christ. And he was strong, and he was courageous. He stood up against unrighteousness. He called out the Pharisees for their hypocrisy. He mentioned it. He named it. He called them names, you know, whitewashed sepulchers, hypocrites, your father's a devil. And also Jesus provided, because he fed the 4,000 and the 5,000, and he was a healer, and he obviously taught, and he was gentle with the women and with children. And so I think these are some of the aspects. If we're going to look at what it means to act like a man, then we need to do that. And sometimes I think, you know, the stereotypical roles of man and wife, husband and wife in the home, you know, woman, I will make the money, you clean the house, you know, this kind of a thing. And what would Jesus do if he came in to our house? Well, you know, would he help clean up? And then again, you know, because we know that the ladies were around him at his feet, one was cleaning and one was just sitting there being with him. And he said that was the better thing. It wasn't that he was denouncing work. It was that he was God in flesh, you know, and it's better to be with him than to clean. But I think that Jesus, being the servant that he was, would certainly have helped people, as he did. And I think we're to do that as well. And so it says, act like men. That's always kind of stuck with me. And so I've thought, I wonder if I could just go through and just read how Jesus was and say, there's this standard of what it means to be a man. You know, and
just the last thing. I think the thing that I just kind of even just wrestle with too is, like, you know, if I'm going about like my week or something like that, and, you know, everything kind of seems to be fine as far as, you know, no one's, you know, no one's persecuting me, or if I'm just going about my work and stuff like that, it's kind of sad to say, but it almost feels like I'm like, am I doing, you know, it's almost like, you know, am I not being, you know, bold enough, or am I not being, you know, am I not getting myself out there enough and stuff, where, you know, I can look and see that, you know, God has worked good fruit in me and stuff, but also at the same time, it's, for some reason, it's like, okay, it feels like, you know, if I'm not, you know, how long is it between until, you know, between such and such, you know, events where, you know, whether or not if I share the gospel with somebody or whatnot, and, you know, if they take it good, or if I'm, you know, being persecuted and stuff like that, then it kind of just, I don't know, plays into that part and stuff. And maybe it's just overanalyzing things and stuff like that too. I'm not sure. But,
well, we can
just kind of going into that, and then.
Yeah, we can fall on our strengths as well as our weaknesses. And we always need to do analysis in light of Scripture. Am I doing this how God wants? And that's the real issue. Because if we don't do that, we can develop a loop in ourselves where we condemn ourselves. But we're not condemned because we're in Christ. So, yeah, it's a tough one. It is. But what I like to do is pray, just lay all my stuff before God and say, oh, boy, you know, if people really knew what I was like, they wouldn't want to hang around me, you know, and yet, Lord, you love me. So, you know, we have to understand that, yeah, we got to self-examine, and we worry about those kind of things, and can kind of freak ourselves out on some things. But on the other hand, boy, he just loves us, and he accepts us. He's changing us, and we just need to work with him as he changes us, and we're going to fail on the way. And so we can rest while we're working, so to speak, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Well, I appreciate the advice, brother.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's tough. You know, act like men, you know, because he says, let all that you do be done in love. That's how we're to be as men. And I just want to say this because you've got me thinking about it, because there's some issues I've been dealing with lately, personal issues. You know, life is tough sometimes, and, you know, people are people, and I'm not perfect. You know, just life. And I'm learning or being exposed to the idea more and more of what it means to be giving and to be more patient and stuff. And so my kids come around and they mess up the kitchen, okay? You know, so I clean it up. And, you know, but I think I'm glad I have a kitchen, and I'm glad I have children that can come over and feel free enough to mess it up. And it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and let things be done in love. And it's a form of loving to be a servant that way. And I'm not saying, hey, look how great I am. Look how humble I am. No, it's what is the main issue? How am I being? What would Christ do? How is he? Am I living that in my heart? And in the heart, that's where the struggle's going on. Because when you face yourself in light of these things, you see those areas of your heart that you don't like. And a lot of people just dismiss them and hide them under stubbornness and pride. But if we do that, we're doing ourselves a disservice and we're sinning against God. So, you know, act like men, be strong, and behave in a loving way. Whew. That's tough.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. It is.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
that's right. Okay. Anyway, it's a good thought. You kind of just touched the nerve in a good way. You know, that I've been thinking about. And wondering about. So it's a good.
Yeah, no, it's just always something that's just kind of always been on my mind and stuff. Is as far as you know, never to try and play like just as far as how am I stacking up, because I can never obviously stack up. But at the same time, it's just like you know where I don't want to have to, you know. In essence, just have to worry about that. I can just keep on looking to Christ and keep on having joy without having to say, okay, am I just to make sure I'm not being fearful? Am I not falling to, you know, what Jesus is saying and stuff without looking back there, but also then looking to him and just basically just going on in joy in him.
You know, one of the things I've learned in my Christian walk is, or I'm learning, I should say, is to lean on the grace of God more and more, not as an excuse to be bad, but you know, I know what I am, and there's nothing good in me except the Lord Jesus, period, that's it. And but I'm getting more confident and at peace with not saying it's okay that I'm a sinner, that's not what I'm saying, it's just His grace is so sufficient, so good, so great. I'm resting in it. I'm more calm. It's okay. You know, I messed up. All right, I messed up. He's not hating me for it. He's there and can move forward. And it's that peace that is coming with that, that is interesting. And that kind of peace, when it happens, allows you to examine yourself even more. And then you find out, oh, man, I'm even worse off than I thought I was. And then there you go again.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, and I really appreciate that, brother, and thank you. Wonderful encouragement, and just thank you for all that you do, and God bless you.
Well, God bless you, and thanks for calling, because the Lord had you ask that, because it helped me kind of formulate some ideas in my own head about some things. So good for you, and praise God. Thanks for calling. All right?
Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it.
All right.
Okay.
All
right.
Bye. Okay. Hey, there's a break. Perfect timing. We have three open lines. If you want, you can give me a call and ask a question. We can talk about stuff. 877-207-2276. We'll be right back after these messages.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Hope you're having a good day. And let's see, let's get on the line with Alan from Richmond, Virginia. Alan, welcome. You are on the air.
Hey, how are you doing, Matt?
I'm doing okay. So what do you got?
I'm actually sitting in my car, so I'm not really
I'm having a lot of trouble understanding you. I'm sorry. A lot of trouble understanding you.
That's what I was told. I'm sitting in my car.
Okay.
On my cell phone.
Okay. A little bit better.
My question for you is in the subject of marriage.
Okay. Marriage.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will try to go to the best of my ability, the passage I'm thinking about.
You know, I'm having trouble understanding you. Could you speak a little bit louder and a little bit slower? Okay?
Okay. There's a passage in the scripture where a man can give a written divorce to his spouse.
Written divorce?
But it also says that she is not entitled to remarry until death do we part.
Okay,
and
there's a yes and no to that, but yeah.
If she does remarry,
he's committing adultery.
That if she remarries, she's considered an adulterer.
So what's your question?
And the one that she does marry would also be considered an adulterer. But I don't see anything in there that refers to me. If I gave my ex a written divorce because she wanted out of the marriage, and desired the world more than God, am I free to remarry?
It's hard to understand you, but let me just talk about the conditions that are justified for divorce in the Bible. And there are two, abandonment and sexual immorality or adultery. Those are the ones that are permitted in Scripture. Okay, so Matthew 19:9, Jesus says, whoever divorces his wife except for immorality, and that's sexual immorality, and marries another woman commits adultery. So, in other words, except for this reason. So, let's just say a man and a woman are married and she commits adultery. He is free to be able to divorce her, but he's not obligated to. And if she, let's say she's unrepentant and he divorces her because of her adultery, then he's free to remarry, because he's done nothing wrong in that context. And in 1 Corinthians 7, it talks about when the unbeliever leaves, let them go. So, and talk about the present situation and distress.
Okay.
Right. So, those are basically what it is, all right?
Okay. Because my situation, my children are bugging me. They want me to find someone. I have that desire to have someone in my life, but I did not feel that I'm entitled to.
Do you go to church? Okay, here's the thing. If she committed adultery and the divorce is there for that, you're free. If she abandoned you, you're free. So let's just say that she's one who's leaving you, didn't want anything to do with you or the Lord anymore, and made it difficult for the marriage to continue. She wasn't interested in participating in that marriage covenant anymore. Then she's the one who's abandoned you, and then you're free to be able to remarry what you want, okay?
Okay. Yeah, I'm lonely. I really do desire to have someone to spend the rest of my life with.
Okay.
And I've been avoiding that because I just didn't feel that I was permitted to do that.
Okay, did your wife leave you?
Yes, she did.
Okay, did she commit adultery?
She's remarried.
Okay, did she commit adultery before she got remarried?
I did not. I cannot verify that, but I did see her kissing a man in the parking lot while we were together.
Okay, so she's abandoning the marriage. So if she left you, you tried to reconcile, she wanted nothing to do with it, and then she's the one who initiated a divorce, and you just signed the papers because that's what she's doing, then you're free, okay? You're free to remarry.
I should have.
Okay?
Okay.
All right.
I just couldn't see that in the scripture anywhere. It didn't speak about the believing husband where he actually stood. I couldn't find that.
Yeah.
But it did make it clear about the her when she left. It did imply that she's not supposed to remarry. But if she did, then she was an adulterer.
Yeah, it's hard to understand you, so I don't want to... It's hard to understand. You don't want to comment, but that's what the condition is. Okay, so it looks like you're free,
okay.
And I would talk to the elders of your church about this first, though. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you. And I try to listen to you every night after work, but it's on my way home all the time. I got to drive home, and I got you on my radio. I listen to everything. But
good.
I've never been able to get a chance to call you. I've been wanting to do this for so long.
Well, I'm glad you did. I'm glad you do listen. I often wonder how many people are listening because I'm up and down the East Coast, even though I live out here in the West in Idaho. But, you know, I don't know how many people are listening, and that's okay. And I pray every day before the show that people will be blessed and God's grace will just shine on people through this foolish, broken vessel on the radio. That's what I do. Okay?
Okay. I have more questions for you, Bob.
Okay. We'll call back another time, okay? Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
All right, Matt. God bless you.
All right. Thanks a lot. Okay. All right. Let's get to, let's see, Mike from Pennsylvania. Hey, Mike. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, what's going on, Matt? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. I can hear you fine. What's up,
Mike?
All right.
Perfect. All right. So before I ask you my question, I wanted my main question, at least. Have you ever heard of a guy named Don K. Preston?
I don't believe so. Okay.
All right, when you get time, you should look him up. He had a debate with Michael L. Brown. Do you know who Michael L. Brown is?
You mean Michael Brown on the radio?
Yeah, Michael Brown on the radio, yeah.
Yeah, Mike. Yeah, we've talked before.
Yeah, okay, so. So, well, he had a debate with him. Preston is the first. I've never seen Michael so shooken up in a debate before. really check this guy out.
Okay, you can email me the link. What was the topic?
It was about full preterism and
okay.
In AD 70.
Which one's a full preterist? I'm assuming it's Preston. I don't believe Michael Brown.
Michael's not a full preterist,
right?
Yeah. Don, I've just listened to this guy, Don. He has a lot of good points, and he's really swaying me at this point. But
I can stop it real easy. Real easy.
We spoke about this before, and
then
he had
you
an answer
it?
To that, Acts 1.
Oh, yeah, I know what the answer is.
All right,
don't believe it for what it says. Don't believe it for what it says.
That's what the answer is.
Of course it is. We got a break coming. Hold on. Hold on. Right, and you come back and you tell me what the, and very succinctly, just tell me what, how did he handle that, what it says there, okay? We'll be right back. Okay, folks, we have two open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, it's the bottom of the hour. If you want to give me a call, two open lines, 877-207-2276. Mike, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, so how does he answer? How does he respond to Acts 1, 9
to
11?
Okay, so in like manner, it uses the Greek word post-tropos. Now, it uses that same Greek word when in Matthew, I believe, where he says, or I believe it's the Old Testament scripture, actually. Maybe it is in Matthew. When he says, oh, how I Israel, how I would have gathered you like a mother hen gathers his chicks. It uses that same word. So it's not necessary. I'm going to read it to you. The same Greek word hostropos, in like manner.
Okay, I'm looking at it. Yeah.
So it uses it in the same way when it speaks about that other passage, like a mother hen gathers her chicks. And he said, you know, we don't literally believe that Jesus is stretching his arm out around believers, or around Jews.
Okay.
And
yeah, that's
it.
That's pretty bad. That's pretty bad. It's pretty bad.
For real?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 Basically, yeah, look, this is what it says, okay? And you got to be careful. I'm going to teach you a little concept here, okay? Equivocation, illegitimate totality transfer, eisegesis, these are all errors. Equivocation means a word changes its meaning in the context of what you're talking about. Illegitimate totality transfer means that there's a word that has a variety of meanings in different contexts. Okay, so let me run this by you really fast. You know, it says in Matthew 1:25 that they kept that Joseph kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son. That means that after she had Jesus, she, you know, they had relations and she lost her virginity. Okay, that's what it's implying there, right?
Yeah.
Okay. What the Catholics will typically do, okay, is they will take that word, and they will find another place. For example, 1 Corinthians 15:25.
Yeah, have a good one. Okay. I'm sorry. Somebody just came up to me randomly.
All right. Okay. So what I'm saying is they'll take the word until, he kept her virgin until she gave birth to a son. And that's clearly, he kept her virgin until Jesus was born. And then they'll say the word until also occurs in 1 Corinthians 15:25. Jesus must reign until he's put all enemies under his feet. And then they'll say, see, does he mean he does not reign anymore? The word until doesn't mean it has to be just that it stops, but it can continue on after. So in two different contexts, it has slightly different meanings. They'll take the meaning in one context and transfer it to another to make the text say something it doesn't say. Are you listening? Are you got something to do? You're building something?
I'm listening. Right. I'm sorry. I just had to close my door there.
Okay.
But I just want to comment on that because that was brought up to him. And he said, and he's even looked at Greek text outside of the Bible, the hos tropos is never used as identical.
It doesn't matter.
To mean identical manner.
Listen. It doesn't matter. The text says this, and after he said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Where did Jesus go to, according to that verse? Where did he go to, according to the verse?
Okay.
Dude, if you're not going to pay attention, I'm going to go to the next caller, okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
No. Okay. I was going to answer.
Okay.
So, it would seem that he's going up into the sky.
Good. And we know that because it says in verse 10, and as they were gazing intently into the sky, while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood behind them. So we know it's talking about Jesus ascending into heaven in the sky where the clouds are. That's a fact, right? Right?
Yeah. So can I give the answer that he gave to that?
Sure. Is he going to say it wasn't like that?
Okay, so the word there for taken up is hero, and it's used metaphorically to be lifted up with pride, to exalt oneself.
Yeah, this guy couldn't exegete his way out of a wet paper bag. If it was leaning downhill, there was a neon sign pointing, and he had a rope pulling him while he's got a compass, okay? All right,
okay,
I'm telling you.
I want to get to my main question, though.
No. Hold on. Let me explain something. All this guy is doing is taking a single word, saying over here at a different place it means something different. So therefore, it doesn't mean what it means in this context. He's doing violence to the scriptures. He does not know what he's doing, and he's twisting the word of God to make it fit. It clearly says that he was taken up into the sky. That's what it's saying. If he were to deny that, and I was debating him, I wouldn't go any further than this. I'd say, but you're not getting what it says. I don't care how many times he denied it. But you got to read what it says. I'd go over it and over it and over it, because this refutes full preterism. And the angels say, the angels said, why are you looking into the sky? The angels are saying, you're looking up into the sky where the clouds were. And they say, Jesus, who's been taken up from you, will come in just the same way, or in the like manner, as you have watched him go into heaven. That's how he's going to come back. For him to deny that is simple stupidity, flat out. Okay? Don't listen. This is what the Jehovah's Witnesses do. They do the same thing. They take a word. It means something over here. Let's transfer the meaning over here to where we're looking so it doesn't mean what it says. The cults always do this. They get the text to say the opposite of what it really means. That's what this guy's doing.
Got you. Okay, so can I just want to get this main question in before you let me go.
Yeah.
1 John 3:2, dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is.
Yeah.
Now he's saying they don't know what they're going to be like. But this is after they've already seen Christ before he died, and they've seen Christ after he died. But they still say, we don't know.
Seriously? That's what the guy is saying out of that? Seriously. He does not know what he's doing. Seriously. And Michael Brown should have torn him to shreds. Your children of God has not appeared as yet what we will be. It has not yet been manifested about the full resurrection of what we're going to be. We know that when he appears, Jesus comes back, we'll be like him in the resurrected and glorified body. We're going to be like him because we will see him just as he is in his full glory. That's all that's being said there. This guy is doing violence to the word of God, and he doesn't know what he's doing. Seriously.
And
no wonder he
also
he's a full
presented.
Preacher. No. No, we're going to move along because...
He also presents... Oh, okay, all right,
Yeah, I'm telling you, guy, look, I'm telling you, man, he's horrible. He's horrible at his biblical interpretation. Come on, man, you're smarter than this. Don't be swayed by this guy.
That wasn't all that was brought up.
Oh, you know, I'll debate the guy.
That was just something that I wanted... Huh?
I would debate him. But look, do not make me come out there where you are and slap you upside the head. Come on, you stick with Don't make me come out there, okay? I'm warning you. You don't make me come out there, all right?
I got you. I'm here. I want to defend. You know, I'm on your side. I want to defend. A view that Jesus is coming back, and
preterism.
This is challenging stuff. You know what I mean?
It's
challenging
not.
Arguments that are brought.
It's not. It's not. It's not. It's only when he has to. What he's doing is taking parts of words from other places and saying, "Over there, it means this. That's why it doesn't mean what it says in this context." We can reverse that as well, because he doesn't realize that if he wants to do it from right to left, we can do it from left to right. That's all. Okay.
So. Gotcha. All right, Matt.
All right.
God bless. Take care, buddy. Love you.
Okay. All right, folks, if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Joseph from Iowa. Joseph, welcome. You're on the air.
Hello.
Yes. Hello.
Hey. I'm glad I can talk to you.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been looking into this for so long time, try to ask you some questions. I always follow your program.
Good. I'm grateful.
Yeah. My first question is, I think I'm going to have three questions, but I think they are short. They're not that long. One question is for you about the salvation. I know we don't lose our salvation when we accept the Lord as our Lord and Savior. We are saved, and we are guaranteed this salvation because it's not through our own work. But if someone
whoops, there's a break. Can you hold on? We got a break coming up. It's a hard break, so we gotta take it. Okay. When we come back,
can you hear me now?
Yeah. When we come back from the break, then you can ask your question. Okay.
Okay.
Hey, folks. We'll be right back after these messages. Thanks.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the show. Let's get on with Joseph from Iowa. Joseph, welcome back.
Yes. Yeah, my question was about salvation.
Right.
And I know we cannot lose our salvation.
Good.
Once we get saved, I know we are saved by faith alone, mm-hmm. and not through our own work. But if someone backslides or go away from the word of God and start behaving like someone who haven't even, you know, placed their faith in Jesus, and they start behaving like just a worldly man, So is there any hope yet still in that person, or he will not have that hope anymore? Because many people say that...
Okay,
hello?
Go ahead. Because, see, I've already got the idea what you're talking about there. If people say they're saved and then they don't live as it, then we, you know, we can't say that they really are. It's not to say that someone who is saved can't make a mistake or two or three or whatever. But if someone says they're a Christian, they're out doing pornography and committing adultery, fornicating and things like that, living with people they shouldn't be because they're not married, stuff like that, I wouldn't say they're Christian. Because the Bible says, if you say you know him and don't keep his commandments, the truth is not in you and you're a liar. So, and we can't lose our salvation, but those who are truly saved are going to be regenerate and are going to work against their sin. If they're pursuing sin, it's a sign that they're not regenerate. But it's not to say that Christians can't slip and even backslide. But even in that case, God may very well kill them to take them out beforehand. It's another topic. But, okay?
So you mean, so if they are truly saved, God will chastise them?
Yes. If they start to get into sin, if they're not truly saved, well, they're not, and judgment's upon them. But it's hard because we can't say a universal statement for everybody, because there are variables about how people know things, what they know, what struggles they may have. I've known people who I believe are saved who have had struggles with self-righteousness and anger and pride. And it's hard for that person or persons to get through that, and yet they can still be saved. We could be saved in different levels of sanctification, different degrees of freedom from sin. So generally, if a person is struggling against their sin, that's a sign they're saved. If they're not struggling against their sin, it's a sign they're not saved. Generally, that's how it works, okay?
Okay, so we can say that if they claim to be saved, but they don't show the fruit of salvation, they don't show that really they've been regenerated, so we can say that they didn't even encounter the Lord. Can we say that?
It's hard to understand you a little bit, but I think so, yeah, what you're saying. Like I said, the general principle is if they're saved, they're going to war against their sin. But if they're not saved, they're not going to war against their sin. But there's variables within those. And it's why counseling is sometimes needed and stuff like that. Okay?
Okay. Good question on that.
We got some other callers waiting.
Can you hear me?
Yes, Joe. So we have other callers waiting. They've been waiting for like a half hour, so I want to get to them, okay? All right. Call back tomorrow, okay, man?
Okay.
All right.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
All right, God bless. All right, let's get to Curtis from Richmond, Virginia. Curtis, welcome.
Hi.
Hi. Sorry for the long wait there, buddy. What do you got?
That's all right. I've been listening, and it's kind of amazing. Some of it has to help me.
Well, good. Okay. So what do you got?
I'm having trouble with old habits that I growed up with, watching my mother, brothers, everybody doing all this. I've got my being saved. Got it. I know I got Christ in me and all that. My biggest problem is getting rid of one bad habit that is just driving me crazy. And what you just talked to him about. Is you keep doing it, and you're not saved, and this keeps worrying me because I can't stop cussing and you know, getting angry. And I'm doing everything I can to stop it. You know, I've quit everything else, the drugs, the drinking, the women, all that is gone. Okay. But I cannot get rid of that. So my spirit is telling me to fast.
Okay.
And I don't understand fasting. You know, that 40 days without food, you know, I'm thinking as a human here, I can't
let me help
go 40 days without no food.
Okay. Let me help you out, okay? So Adam and Eve sinned, but they sinned by eating. So fasting is the opposite of that. Not that eating brings sin and not eating cures sin. That's not what I'm saying, of course. But it's just interesting that the feeding of the flesh was something that it was the means by which sin entered the world. All right, so there are different kinds of fasts. Some are 40 days, some are 20, some are 10, some are one day. Some are depending on your diet. You know, I would not want my wife to fast, for example. She's got medical issues, and I would say, no, you know.
Me too.
I wouldn't want her to. But what if she were to say, I'm only going to fast one meal a day? And that's how she does it. Well, okay, that's a type of fast. There are fasts where people do that. One meal a day, where they might do two meals, or they might only eat one meal, or they're going to fast for just one day and only have water, or from sun up to sun down. And so there are different kinds. And you have to take into consideration your age, your medical condition. So I'm, you know, I'm in pretty good shape, and I could fast for probably 40 days and not be injured by it. Because 40 days is the average an adult person can live without food. But anyway, yeah, that's it. 40 days doesn't kill you. You hear all this stuff about, you know, fasting, you know, 7 days you'll die. No, it's not true. It's not true, unless you're anorexic. But so it just depends. So if you think the Lord's calling you to fast, then you need to obey that. But I would pray about what kind of fasting you want to do and talk to your friends and loved ones about it. And not to say, hey, I'm trying to be spiritual, look at me, I want to fast, but one or two people that you can talk about that, you know, they might have an intention or an idea about what God might be calling you to do. But if you don't feel comfortable with that, just pray and see what the Lord calls you to do, and try something like a 3-day fast, or you can try one meal a day for 3 days and see how that goes and stuff like that.
Alright, because I mean, every time I cuss, I listen to a show on this radio the other night. Mm-hmm. And I just have to keep saying, forgive me every time I do it. But it hurts. It's just eating me alive because I just can't quit.
Good. I'm glad it's eating you alive.
And it hurts. It's terrible.
Good.
I'm trying not to do it in front of anybody because that's really bad. But it does slip out in front of people. And I work at a church. I was a volunteer. Now I'm an associate. I work here. And I don't want to do that. And I lost my temper this morning and cussed in front of all the volunteers. That was not good.
Did you ask forgiveness for that?
Yes. Oh, instantly. Yes.
Okay. Well, okay, good. So here's what you do. Okay, get on your knees and you pray about this. And I'd read Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, 1 through 17. But Colossians 3 has some words for you. You'll find them, okay? You'll find them.
Okay.
They're in there. And memorize, like, the verse address. You know, Colossians 3, whatever the verse is, there's several in there, and the one that speaks to you, memorize that address. You don't have to memorize the whole verse, even though it's a good idea. And then what you can do is rehearse in your mind. Something happens that triggers you, gets you mad. Rehearse in your mind quoting that verse to yourself first. You want to train your mind to do that. And it'll take a while, but you can have success doing that. It's what practice is. Practice in martial arts.
That's why I read my Bible a lot. And I always ask God to let me understand and learn things as I read. I read all day long and at night.
Good.
I fill myself with that to keep me from doing bad things.
Well, let me. We got another caller I want to get to, but I want to give you some little words of wisdom here. The fact that you're failing, but yet you're warring against it, is a means of glorifying God, not in your failure, but in your recognition of what needs to be corrected, your recognition of your failure and your need for dependence on Him as you go through it. This brings glory to Him because you're judging these things as being wrong and you're seeking to honor God through them. You're failing, but you keep going back to Jesus and trusting in Him, and in that you're bringing glory to Him. And so you praise Him for His consistent mercy to you and His great love for you, and then you ask Him to strengthen you, to change you, that you eventually have victory over this. Okay?
Wow. You just helped me 100% right there. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, brother. All right. God bless, buddy. All right.
All right. Thank you, man.
Okay. All right. Let's get to Carl from Florida. Carl, welcome. You are on the air. Last caller. What do you got, buddy?
What's up, man? How you doing?
Doing all right.
So my question is about churches. I was in the International Christ
you know, National Church of Christ. Yeah, it's basically a cult. Yeah. Stay away from it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was there. I watched a couple of your videos, and I had left before you. Before I watched your videos, I'm aware of the cult and you know the baptism doctrine, just a whole bunch of stuff. But it's not about that church. So now I'm trying to look for a new church.
Okay.
And I'm aware that women, cannot be pastors. So a church that has a woman pastor, especially the leader, I should stay away from that church. Mm-hmm. But what about these? Because I visited a church recently, and
what about what?
They have these churches now where the husband is the pastor and the wife is the pastor.
Yeah, that's wrong. That's wrong. A woman is not to be in a place of teaching authority over men in the church, period. And so a male pastor who allows that does not understand the Word of God, and he essentially is disqualifying himself from being a pastor because he cannot discern truth from error in this critical issue that the Scriptures clearly teach on.
So any church that has that combination, the husband, the wife,
are in rebellion against God.
Church,
yep.
So you stay away from that church.
Stay away from it. That's right.
Okay.
And if anybody wants to debate me on this publicly, go out to your church. We'll have it televised. We'll have it filmed. We'll debate it. We'll go through Scriptures. This is what the Scripture says. It doesn't say if they're under the authority of their husband, they can then be over other men in the church in an authority position. It's stupidity. It is rebellion against God's Word. It is compromise of the Word.
Even if it's like a youth pastor, the ladies...
They should never be. A woman should never be called a youth pastor or pastor of any kind. She's not a pastor. Okay. Pastor is a job for a male. And I can,
these churches nowadays also, they do the sinner prayer. Where after service, it's how you come up, say a sentence or whatever, say a prayer. And then they pronounce that you're saved. What about that?
It's potentially dangerous. There is no sinner's prayer like that in the Bible. There is one recorded in Luke 18, 9 through 14. But
did you stay away from a church like that?
Well, hold on. It depends on how it's done. See, I could be in a church and I could say, look, I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and we're out of time. I don't want to get too much into it without having time to explain it. So, why don't you call back tomorrow? Let's talk about the sinner's prayer issue, okay? Because it's an important one, all right? But it's good and bad, depending, all right?
Okay.
All right, brother.
Thank you.
Okay. That's Carl from Florida. We're out of time, folks. May the Lord bless you, and by His grace, we're back on the air tomorrow. And Lord willing, we'll talk to you then.